meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea, for the winds have changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Winds of Change here on AM 750 WNDZ. I'm Jude Hunts. I'm the director of the Office of Peace and Justice for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I'm filling in for Father Anthony, and I'm joined today with John Taylor, who is a consultant for our office. And today we are recognizing the fact that it's January 22nd. It is the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision. We are joined in thought and prayer with those who went from Chicago and from all over the country to march in the March for Life in Washington, D.C., to witness to life, to witness to the defense of life. And it's interesting that this occasion takes place within a larger month called Poverty Awareness Month. It's a month that the church sets aside for us to consider and think about those who are less fortunate, those who are in dire poverty, whether it's here locally in Chicago or around the country or around the world. And so we're going to talk today in a larger context about the effects of poverty, because in a very real sense, abortion is a symptom of a greater poverty that exists within our culture, and which is why John Paul II talked a lot about the idea of a consistent ethic of life. And so we want to talk about lifting up all life, whether it's here inside the womb, whether it's outside the womb, the most vulnerable in our societies. And so the Office of Peace and Justice has been talking a lot all this month about the effects of poverty, John, and your work in particular for our office has done a lot in the last month in terms of poverty with regard to some of the programs that we have. The first thing that we want to talk about is the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. I've been on the show in the past to talk about CCHD and the work that CCHD does. During Poverty Awareness Month, we reaffirm and talk about CCHD to parishes that didn't have the opportunity to take the collection back in November. And so we want to talk about CCHD a little bit first. John, what's your experience been with the Catholic Campaign for Human Development over the years?
Well, first of all, Jude, thank you for welcoming me today. I'm really happy to join with you in this program. My work for the past few months has focused on parishes and their response through the Catholic Campaign for Human Development, as well as other items that parishes participate in within the Archdiocese. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development, to me, is probably one of the most important outreaches that we have that joins people together. You know, the title of this show, Winds of Change, and then it goes on to talk about, excuse me, a hopeful response. Well, the Catholic Campaign for Human Development is a hopeful response on the many issues that confront people within both their parishes, their communities, their neighborhoods, their families. Mm-hmm. I've had personal contact with two or three of the programs those that especially one of the things that is really close to my heart is affordable housing, especially affordable housing for those who are most vulnerable. In other words, those who have disabilities. And the CCHD grants that we have, that the money that we get from the parishes, how they express their hope, help the Archdiocese to reach out to places such as the private the Progress Center for Living, which is helping to identify buildings that can then be turned over or turned around to be accessible for those most vulnerable in our communities.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the programs that I think that needs to be continue to be funded, but the need is so much greater than just that one particular community. That's located in the Lake County area.
Mm-hmm.
If we look in a brighter, broader environment, such as City of Chicago and our southwest south suburbs, we will see that that the need is so great.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily, we are a church of hope,
mm-hmm.
And boy, I'll tell you, it is so wonderful to talk to parishioners and mm-hmm. to priests and to go to the parishes, to represent CCHD, to talk about the work that is being done, and then to have the parishioners come up to me after Mass, such as St. Thomas Croatian Church
mm-hmm.
In the back of the yards, Bridgeport neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
and basically express their joy. I mean, it really is genuine, their joy being able to share their resources with the needs that we have articulated at Mass.
Right. Yeah, I was having my coffee and tea yesterday with a young man, very, very idealistic, very bright young Catholic man who wants to help us with a project that we fund through CCHD. The Precious Blood Center of Reconciliation is a place that two priests and two nuns have started several years ago to help get young people away from gangs, get young people out of the dire effects of poverty. And they do that through circles of reconciliation. They've also done it through an apprenticeship program, starting a little bit of a business with silk screening and a T-shirt making. I've been having conversations over the last several months with some very bright young adult Catholics who want to take that to the next level, that want to develop a very robust apprenticeship program along the lines of a Homeboy Industries in Los Angeles. That's the work of a Jesuit, Father Greg Boyle, who got help from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development to create these little small businesses to get young people jobs, to make them entrepreneurial. And, you know, so we're having these conversations with CCHD to do that here in Chicago, to provide opportunities of hope for young people throughout Chicago who are in economically challenged situations. So that was a very exciting project. The other piece of that is, throughout Chicago, we've got these small little Catholic credit unions that most people don't know about, but provide a great deal of hope to a lot of people. They are providing small dollar loans that are just and affordable, that don't abuse people like the payday lending industry does. And we want to support that work. We want to develop that work. We want to provide financial education for people who don't have access to it, provide financial services to people who don't have access to it, who might be exploited through other means. And so that's another piece of this larger puzzle. And, you know, John, you mentioned affordable housing, and that's another piece of the Precious Blood project that we're working on. Is you have a lot of abandoned properties in the back of the yards area there around Sherman Park and whatnot. And through the land trust, the land bank here in Chicago, a nonprofit can acquire these things for a little bit of money. And through the apprenticeship program, we hope to train young people to build, to renovate these things, and to provide affordable housing through a co-op program. And you know something about housing co-ops, right?
I know a little bit. Yeah. I do live in a cooperative. There's okay. 6 units, and
how's it work?
Well, we buy the building together.
Okay.
And so all our financial documents are presented to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And each of us own our own unit.
Okay.
So there's 6 units, and we have a board. In fact, we are the board, mm-hmm. the tenants. And we come together periodically, usually quarterly, mm-hmm. to make decisions about what's happening with the building, if there's any deterioration and what needs to be fixed. But when it comes to negotiation with the banks, we do it together. Luckily, we have one of our people is an attorney. But the rest of us are very vocal, and we're very connected to the community in which we live.
Mm-hmm.
And that says a big thing to the financial sources. They're always looking for how close-knit are you with the community, or are you just sort of living there and not sharing your vision?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jude, talking about vision,
yeah.
You know, the Bible says without vision, we're dead, right?
Right.
I happened to be in Riverdale last week, mm-hmm. at a parish, and as you drive into Riverdale, the phrase on top of the water tower says, Riverdale, a city of vision.
Mm.
So as I sat down with the staff at this particular parish, they were talking about the needs that they had.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned that phrase that's on the top of their water tower. And, you know, they came back to me at that meeting and they said, you know, we see ourselves as a parish with vision,
mm-hmm.
and as a parish of hope. We combine the two together because without hope, we're dead.
Mm-hmm.
This whole idea that we need to be both visionary and hopeful really goes along with who we are as Catholics, as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
That's the essence of who Christ is. He extended a hand of help,
mm-hmm.
which is hope.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and again, the work of the Catholic Campaign for Human Development is providing hope to a lot of places. You know, somewhat connected to the Precious Blood Project is a group we had on this program a few months ago, St. Eulalia's. And they've been working with the immigrant Thai communities to create cooperatives of another kind, worker co-ops. They've organized the women in the community to start I think it was a catering cooperative, and now they're working with men to do that same kind of thing in other kinds of professional trades. And again, we funded that through the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. We're providing those kind of communities with opportunities, with jobs, with some security, so that they can have some financial security for themselves as well as for their families and for future generations. And it's really great to see that kind of work, and it's great to see that work within the context of the Catholic parish, that the church is doing this. The church is behind this. We're not just there on a Sunday. We're there 7 days a week caring for everybody.
You know, you talked about the Resurrection Project you were talking about in your neighborhood where you live?
No, the Precious Blood Center.
The Precious Blood,
yeah.
Center, and how it's working with youth and mm-hmm. helping youth to have access to skills.
Right.
You know, it's this direct approach that mm-hmm. brings each person closer to both the understanding of the job market and how it works.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at the credit union, you know, we're also used to banks.
Right.
And most of us relationship to a bank is just putting money into it.
Right.
Or maybe asking for permission to borrow.
Right.
But a credit union is people working together, pooling their resources and getting to understand all the ins and outs of loaning, of surviving with each other,
mm-hmm.
of interest, becoming closer and closer, yeah. to the mechanism, so that their lives they're in more control of their lives.
Right.
We look at our own parishes. A parish is not just a building.
Right.
It's everybody working together. And again, when I was in Riverdale last week, they were so excited to hear about the credit union,
right.
the possibility of them learning about credit and learning about how it all works together and about joining with others to do this. So they saw that their parish is much broader than who they are.
Right. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
We join our Chaldean Catholics in prayer to the Mother of God for peace in the Middle East. Mother of God, Virgin Mary, be for us a safeguard from all illnesses and hardships. Through the great love you have for Christ, ask and beseech him to be merciful to us, to give healing to our ailments, to console the downtrodden, to unite those who are scattered, and to forgive us.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to his people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ.
Good afternoon. I'm Jude Hunts from the Archdiocese Office of Peace and Justice. I'm filling in for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And I'm joined in studio with John Taylor, who's a consultant in our office, and we're talking about the Poverty Awareness Month that we're undertaking here as a part of the larger church throughout the country, highlighting the work that the church does in so many different areas with regard to overcoming poverty in our communities. And we talked a little bit about the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. That's a more national program that has local implications, but we want to also talk about a lot of local things that are happening throughout Chicago in more concrete and everyday different events throughout the community. A lot of people are not aware of the fact that the Archdiocese of Chicago has a program called the Parish Sharing Program. And what it is it's designed to pair up parishes to help one another stay afloat, to continue the ministries in the parishes that are a little bit more economically challenged. It's a way to lift up communities throughout Chicago. And John, that's something you've had a lot of experience with in the last couple months.
Yes, I was. I gratefully acknowledged, was given the responsibility to sort of coordinate or to identify parishes that are sharing their resources, their mm-hmm. gifts, with other parishes that need those resources and the gifts. Mm-hmm. So for the past basically month, I've been asking parishes to, our office, the Peace and Justice, has been asking parishes to let us know as to, well, are they a sharing parish? What gifts are they sharing with another parish? And who is that other parish? And then I'm putting together sort of like a data sheet so that we understand the scope and the breadth of how the sharing is happening. Mm-hmm. And boy, it is so impressive. I have mm-hmm. talked with many parishes that are doing the sharing. We've also been able to identify about six parishes that need resources. And so like that church in Riverdale that I spoke of earlier, I went out there and I sat down with them. We talked about what were their specific needs? Where's the hope in their parish? Mm-hmm. Because when a church wants to share, share their resources, it's one of the questions they ask when they say, "Well, we don't want to share with a parish that's going to be closed down next week.
Right.
We want one that actually has this vision or this hopefulness that there's a sense of joy that's happening within the parish." And so I go out and I visit the parish, and like this one in Riverdale. I'll tell you, there are particular circumstances. They had a lot of seniors.
Mm-hmm.
But I, too, am a senior, so I understand when they're talking about how we move a little bit slower and we talk a little bit slower and we think a little bit slower. But we have not lost our sense of hope for the future.
Right.
You know, I'm constantly reminded when I go out to the parishes and speak about sharing, the possibility of being sharing resources or receiving, and I'm reminded of what Blessed Teresa of Calcutta said. She said, "Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow has yet to come. We have only today. Let us begin."
Mm-hmm.
And I think that pretty much summarizes the hope for all these parishes, the six so far that I've identified that they need help. They need resources.
Right.
A lot of it is financial, but a lot of it isn't. And then we get back onto this. What is a receiving parish, a parish that needs financial help? Mm-hmm. What can they give? Well, I'll tell you, for the parishes that are giving the help, mm-hmm. they have the best answer. They say, well, what we find is that these poor parishes, and we are mm-hmm. in the month of poverty here for mm-hmm. for the church, these, quote, poor parishes, they have more hope and vitality going on than in our mm-hmm. church. And we have a larger church.
Right. And, you know, the experiences I've had, you know, what can the receiving parish in terms of economic assistance provide? I was at St. Agatha's a few months ago, and they invited their sharing parish of St. Luke's in River Forest to come to Mass, and they shared their way of worship. They also have a pulpit swap. So the pastor of St. Luke's came and was the main celebrant and concelebrated with the pastor, Father Larry Dowling, and they share that way. They share their musical gifts and talents. The Mass at St. Agatha's is very different than what a Mass looks like in River Forest. And so when people from St. Luke's come and they see that different worship style, it's enriching to them as well, of their own experiences. And I was talking to St. Peter and Paul Parish for months now. They've been begging to have a sharing relationship with somebody because they need help down there at 125th and Halsted. And thanks be to God, through this effort that John and I have undertaken, we found a share for them. There was a parish that was willing to share their resources and treasures and whatnot. And so they established that agreement last week, and we're very excited about that opportunity to do that. You know, the parish that was helping them, St. Fabian's, they were wondering, well, what can St. Peter and Paul help us with? And St. Peter and Paul has a Catholic credit union. They have this financial tool and gift that helps their community, that can also help the people at St. Fabian's. You know, John was sharing a little bit about the way the credit union works, and it is like a co-op. It's like the Bailey Savings and Loan from It's a Wonderful Life, okay? All the money stays there. And it goes to help, you know, a lot of the products are designed to help lower-income folks. But, you know, it's also something to think about this. You know, if your money is in a big bank, like, say, the Bank of America, you know, what's the Bank of America doing with your money? You know, for-profit banks invest your money so that they can make a profit. And they give money to causes that may not reflect Catholic values. But that's not what happens at a Catholic credit union. The money stays there, and it's there to help other people. And so this is an opportunity for us to share our Catholic values in the marketplace. You know, this is not a government program. This isn't anything like that. This is a way of us putting our values in the marketplace by saying we want to use our money in just and equitable ways to help the poor, but also we don't want our money being used for causes and things that we don't agree with, whether it's weapons making or abortion or whatever it is. We don't want our money, going to those things. We want our money being used for the fundamental outreach of the church, which is to help others.
I belong to a credit union on mm-hmm. the north side in Uptown. That's
yeah.
where I live.
Yeah.
And I've been with that credit union now for about 4 years. I know every single member on the board.
Right.
They're from the community. They're answerable to me. You know, I don't want to use the word answerable, but they respond to me.
Right.
They know me and I know them. I know a lot of the people who belong to the credit union.
Mm-hmm.
They're from the neighborhood, and the funds are used on behalf of the community. You know, one of the my background is 9 years with Catholic Relief Services, and one of the programs that Catholic Relief Services promotes in many villages and communities across the world is something called microfinance lending, and credit union is pretty much like that. It's people coming together, people that know each other, and then people learning about how to handle finances, learning about how to do loans, make loans, and then see their money grow, and but see it, more importantly, of value and of use to their neighbors. That's what the credit union is so powerful for. You know, when I keep mentioning this church in Riverdale without saying its name, but it's Mary Queen of Apostles. And so when I was there again last week and I spoke about the credit unions going on in St. Peter and Paul, a neighboring parish of theirs, they were so excited to hear about this. And they're hoping that as part of their vision and a part of their hope, that they'll be able to work with that particular credit union.
Right. And Catholic credit unions do provide those kind of microfinance opportunities, and that's one of the things we would like to see happen in this relationship with Catholic credit unions and the Precious Blood Project in terms of the apprenticeships and the homeboy industries, kind of a model that we're hoping to affect there, that the credit union can be that microfinance for some smaller low-income generated businesses, you know, not just in the South Side, but throughout the city of Chicago. I mean, we're going to start someplace, and so we'll start it there, and we're very excited about those kind of opportunities. And, you know, you remember in the Acts of the Apostles, you know, after Pentecost, there's this little description about the church and how the community shared things in common together, that they brought their goods to the apostles, and they were distributed equitably amongst the people. And again, you know, this is what Catholic credit unions, this is what CCHG is all about, this is what our food pantries are all about. This is us coming together as a larger church to help one another in these very tangible ways when it comes to overcoming the effects of poverty. You know, and again, we're here on the 22nd of January, the day of the March for Life, the day we witness to life in the womb and in all stages of life at the March for Life in Washington, D.C. We know that the single greatest cause of women seeking abortions is poverty. And if we can overcome poverty, we can help those people, the instances of abortion go down dramatically. The stats are there. More than 80% of women say that's the reason why they're seeking an abortion. And if they have the opportunity, if they have the help in a very comprehensive way, you know, it's not just diapers and formula. It's, you know, it's financial assistance. It's opportunity in a very comprehensive and holistic way.
And it's about building community.
Right. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, WindsOfChangeShow.com. That's WindsOfChangeShow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link, Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth. The Winds of Change.
Church on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Watch out! He is showing us his flesh. I am Father Thomas J. Loy with a Theology of the Body moment for Tabor Life Institute. God has taken on our flesh, and during the Feast of the Epiphany, God shows his flesh to the world. In the Western Lung of the Church, God is showing this to the wise men. The Eastern Lung, having just celebrated the circumcision of Christ's flesh, now speaks of Christ's naked flesh during his baptism in the Jordan River. In the East, Epiphany is also called Theophany. So why all this flesh? Because the flesh of Jesus Christ reveals his divinity and the truth about being human. This is the theology of the body. Christ's birth, epiphany, and baptism in the flesh has renewed all creation. And if this is real to us, how do we now see all of creation, especially human body persons? To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
Welcome back to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. I'm Jude Hunts of the Peace and Justice Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago, joined in studio with one of our consultants, John Taylor. And we're talking about Poverty Awareness Month here on the 22nd of January as we stay in solidarity with our brothers and sisters who've gone to Washington, D.C. for the March for Life. One of the members of our office team is with them. Actually, Lori Felix is with the Chicago contingency of the March for Life, and so we give a shout out to Lori and everybody else from Chicago who went. We've talked today about CCHD and the work that it's done. We've talked about a unique Chicago program called Sharing Parish, and those two things have highlighted the local aspects of the issues related to poverty, but we also know that top poverty has a global dimension, and the other arm of the church that works in that area, CCHG, is a national project of the U.S. bishops for national and local and domestic poverty, but the international arm of the church in the U.S. for overcoming the effects of poverty on the international scale is Catholic Relief Services. John mentioned earlier that he worked for 9 years for CRS and retired to join our team here in the Archdiocese, and we're eternally grateful and blessed to have him and his wisdom with us as we do this work. Lent is just a month away, folks, by the way, and as many of you may practice, you know, one of the disciplines of Lent is almsgiving, and one of the biggest programs for almsgiving that we have is Catholic Relief Services Operation Rice Bowl. A lot of our parishes and schools participate in Rice Bowl. You get a little cardboard box, there's a prayer on it you say every day, and you throw some ma change and $20 bills and other things in there for almsgiving and so that money gets collected on the parish level, and then the parishes send it to us, and we send it to CRS. John, tell us a little bit about the Operation Rice Bowl program.
Well, Rice Bowl was started about 25 years ago, and it came out of, a diocese in Pennsylvania, I think Pittsburgh, started by a nun who thought that there must be a good way to engage folks in her parish around the work that Catholic Relief Services was doing overseas. So she fashioned a little box and called it the Rice Bowl. As many people know, many, many cultures survive on rice. So she thought this was a very strong, emblematic presence in the parishes to have something that would identify the main staple of a lot of cultures and at the same time be a bowl that people can put donations into. Along with that, she developed a lot of resources to go along with the Rice Bowl. Rice Bowl, from the CRS point of view, it is not primarily money. It really is about education and understanding. So we put a lot of resources, financial, into developing materials that we hope are utilized by either the schools or classes that are meant for RCIA folks. The idea is to get people to have a stronger understanding of the reality of people's lives overseas. Mm-hmm. You know, we are in the United States, and we have two oceans that separate us from most of the world. So we don't really have this strong affinity with what's happening. CRS was founded in 1943, and now here we are in 2015. CRS serves about 100 million people a year. And it serves the poorest of the poor, and it bases its work on Catholic social teaching. Mm-hmm. So when we saw what this nun was doing in Pennsylvania, I believe, again, Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. We, within a few years, adapted, with her permission, the Rice Bowl, and we now have it in the about 13,000 parishes in the United States.
Wow. And, you know, the... a lot of people are familiar with CRS because of the emergency appeals that regularly happen when there is a disaster or humanitarian crisis someplace. So we've been on the show in the past to talk about some of those crises and the work that CRS does. We talked about the hotspots, whether it's in the Middle East or in Africa, with a lot of the violence going on in those particular places, and the work that CRS does in terms of refugee assistance. We've talked about the work that CRS has done in the past when a natural disaster hits, the typhoon in the Philippines or the earthquake in Haiti. A lot of people know about that work, but they don't know about the everyday work of CRS that Operation Rice Bowl supports. Some of the ongoing everyday projects that happen in local villages in all sorts of countries overseas. If you'd like the opportunity, by the way, to see that kind of work firsthand, our office is actually organizing a little bit of a pilgrimage to El Salvador in May. If you'd like information about that, you can contact our office, Chicago, the Peace and Justice Office. The website is chicagowapeaceandjustice.org, and you can contact... one of our CRS interns, Bethany Collins, who is overseeing that particular project. And you can see some of the work. The two things that we're going to visit in El Salvador, one is a farm where a lot of the work of fair trade is being done. It's a coffee and chocolate farm. So we'll have the opportunity to see a farm cooperative in El Salvador providing just wages and whatnot for a farm there. And we're also going to see a place in San Salvador that does work with at-risk youth right in the heart of the city. A lot of the work that we do here in Chicago with a place like Our Precious Blood. So if you're interested in that kind of a trip, you can go to our website, chicagopeaceandjustice.org, click our contact page and send us a little note, and we'll be happy to contact you with information about that particular project. John, now what are some of the other everyday activities and events that the Operation Rice Bowl money goes toward in CRS?
Yeah, you know, good question, because a lot of people think Rice Bowl and they think, well, it's only for agricultural work. We do a lot of agricultural work. Right. Again, we serve 100 million people. We're in about 93 countries. And in most of the countries that we work in, a lot of it is agricultural. During Lent, Rice Bowl, we highlight five countries, five of the 92, 93 that we serve. For example, as to what other kind of work that we do, in the first week of Lent, we're highlighting Tanzania, and we talk about a particular project that CRS that we are involved in. And one of the projects has to do with, in Tanzania, there's many times of intense drought. And so water resources are scarce. And so there needs to be working with the people. We always work in solidarity with those whom we are serving. And we work from their point of view. In other words, one of the Catholic social teaching principles, which is our guiding light in terms of our work, is subsidiarity. And that particular principle says that the people that are most affected by the issue or the problem have the greater voice as to what we do about this. And so here we have a project in Tanzania in which they were, in this particular village, there was a problem with growing the corn that they needed. And it was seen, not by us, they're identifying the problem, and we're coming in with maybe some suggestions about spreading the crops farther apart and maybe importing some fertilizer that could be really helpful to growing crops when either the rainy season is too much or the dry season is too harsh. And so we talk about that in the first week of Rice Bowl, of Lent. Another example is in Nicaragua, which we highlight on the second week. And that is another agricultural product. As you all probably know, Nicaragua is a great grower of coffee. In this one particular area, there was a disease called coffee leaf rust. And so with the help of CRS technicians, people actually know about how to deal with that, we were working with the villagers to remove the coffee leaf rust. And at the same time, use the land to devote it into other plants besides just coffee, like plantains and sweet potatoes, both of which have high nutritional value, especially for the climates. There's so many other things. There's, like I mentioned before, there's microfinance lending. We organize, we work with villagers to help figure out how to join people together to develop their own, in a sense, credit union. We do conflict resolution. We're in the Gaza Strip right now. We've been there in Palestine for about 30 years, working with both Israelis and Palestinians on building a one-state solution and utilizing the steps that go with that, of which there are many. So we're part of that peace-building project in Palestine.
Yeah. Speaking of Nicaraguan coffee, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, the Office of Peace and Justice has developed a Nicaraguan coffee blend to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Vatican II document, Gaudium et Spes. This is 2015, 50 years ago, the very last Vatican II document, Gaudium et Spes, the pastoral constitution on the church in the modern world, was promulgated by the Second Vatican Council. And so we are celebrating that anniversary by making a coffee blend. It's a fair trade coffee that we have available at our office. Again, you can find out what that coffee is, and you can order some on our website, chicagopeaceandjustice.org. I'm not a coffee drinker myself, but my staff are avid coffee drinkers, and they say it's very good. And so does our technician here in the studios. He likes it a lot, too. So, one way to help overseas is by supporting fair trade products. CRS does a lot with fair trade, and we are happy to provide this coffee this year only. So you have 12 months to buy this coffee. We will make it available throughout the year to continue this celebration of the 50th anniversary of the close of the Second Vatican Council and its landmark document, Gaudium et Spes, the pastoral constitution on the church in the modern world. And so order your fair trade Nicaraguan coffee at chicagopeaceandjustice.org. You are listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card.
With your help, St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
You'll find a little bit of yesterday that will delight you today at the Family Hearth General Store, a nonprofit ministry of forming faithful families in historic Frankfort, Illinois. The 1870s style old storefront honors home, faith, and family life, featuring vintage wares and unique gifts for special family occasions. From Victorian replicas, vintage decor, quilts, candles, antique samplers, and jewelry, to unique books, hand-milled soaps, old-time candy, ice cream, and bottles of pop, you'll find a warm welcome here around the family hearth. A cozy fireplace, fresh gourmet coffees, and teas await your visit. So come, sit a spell. Find us on the main street of Frankfort at 119 Kansas Street, and be sure to visit the online store at formingfaithfulfamilies.com. Like us on Facebook or give us a call at 708-334-1988.
Welcome back. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. I'm Jude Hunts from the Office of Peace and Justice for the Archdiocese of Chicago, filling in for Father Anthony, who is at the March for Life with so many other Chicagoans and folks from around the country, witnessing to life in all of its stages, and most particularly unborn life, as this is the anniversary of Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision. We've been talking today with John Taylor, who is a consultant in our office, about the Poverty Awareness Month campaign that we've been undertaking throughout the Archdiocese. If you've been on the Brown Line, by the way, you may have seen one of our ads that have been on the CTA Brown Line, highlighting Poverty Awareness Month and the work of CCHD, which we talked about earlier in the show. And in the second half of the show, we've talked about the work of international development when it comes to fighting poverty overseas. And now in the third half of our show, we're going to circle back to talk about domestic poverty, but in a little different way. We just talked about Operation Rice Bowl, the Lenten campaign that supports the work of Catholic Relief Services, and most of that goes to the international work that we talked about, whether it's fair trade or microfinancing or helping farmers or clean water. But a lot of people don't know that the Rice Bowl money, 25% of that money stays here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And we use that money to support local food pantries at our parishes. We talked about the work that John has done with the Sharing Parish Program, and intimately connected with that work is the food pantries. John, you've had a lot of opportunities to see food pantries in action, and tell us about a few of them.
Yeah, I've really been fortunate to fall into this job, I got to tell you. For someone who worked with CRS for 9 years, where I actually did see the work that we do overseas, and especially around food and hunger, and then I retire, and then I get to work with food pantries here through the Archdiocese. The Rice Bowl grant, so the money that is collected, I talked a lot about the educational arm of Rice Bowl and its importance,
right.
But we can't deny that donations are very, very important as well. And so the money that is collected in each parish is then sent to the Archdiocese, and the Archdiocese holds back about 25%. This is something that CRS emphasizes that we definitely want dioceses to do. We want them to reach out and support hunger initiatives in their diocese as a is part of the sharing. It's part of the joint commitment that each of us have, both the international work and in the local work around hunger. So these past few months, I've had the opportunity to visit many of the, there's about 70 parishes, Catholic parishes, that receive a grant from the Archdiocese that comes through the Rice Bowl collection. And these grants are between $1,200 and $1,500 per grant. We'd like to triple it. We want to triple it. It's needed to be tripled. I mean, I'm in many, many of these parishes who are reaching out to families that are in total need of food for their children, if they're seniors, if they're shut-ins, etc. I was in a parish at the very beginning of this process back in September, and this parish was near Costner and Montrose, and they get a $1,500 grant from us. Their outreach is 700 families per week. And I was really surprised by that because I said, well, this is kind of a middle-class community. Who are you serving? And they said, well, you know, a lot of seniors. A lot of seniors need help. There's a lot of smaller families that now live with mom and dad, and those families need help. And so you can't judge a book by its cover. You can't walk through a neighborhood and say, oh, this is fine. It's going really well, and there's not much problems here. I'm going into parishes that are in Inverness, in Mount Prospect Parish, and these parishes have food pantries because the need is multiplying everywhere. Mm-hmm. But again, you can also imagine that the need is really just as dramatic in places like Pulaski in Division or Pulaski and Roosevelt Road.
Or Berwyn or Berwyn, Harvey,
Right, Jude.
Yeah.
The need is so great. And the $1,200, the $1,500 that we're able to give, the look of gratitude is amazing.
Right.
The look of gratitude is so heartwarming, this idea that we are giving hope. But then they say, and they don't say it out of meanness or anything, but just out of, I hope we can do more next year. And that's where you all come in. Right. Because it's through Rice Bowl that this money comes through. And it's through Rice Bowl that is shared with the Archdiocese. And then we reach out and give it to the pantries.
Right. And if you want to participate in our Operation Rice Bowl campaign, you can go to our website, www.chicagowapeaceandjustice.org, and you can find the link to CRS and Operation Rice Bowl, and you can sign up. A lot of our parishes do very well in this particular campaign, Catholic schools in particular. And we've started to see, we've seen a rise in the number of our parishes who are participating because they see that the work, sometimes when you give money, you don't know what it's going for. You know, you're just, okay, I know it's going to help somebody, but I don't know who it's going for. And we've had the opportunity today to talk about some of the work overseas in terms of where the money's going and what it's doing. But in your own communities, you can see that money and work being done, whether it's CCHD, whether it's the Rice Bowl money that's coming back to your communities that's helping food pantries. These two campaigns are doing a lot of good throughout our communities. And in order to keep them going, in order to increase them, we need that support. So if you go to chicagopeaceandjustice.org, you could find out how you can help these two programs. You could also order your Fair Trade Nicaraguan blend coffee that we're making available. It's another small way of helping fight the poverty overseas because the coffee's all fair trade and the people are receiving a just wage for it who have grown that coffee for us. John, any last thoughts before we close in prayer?
Well, I just want to say thank you to the audience, mm-hmm. to my fellow Catholics, to parishioners, to Christians, to anyone out there that understands exactly the need and how we can work together to alleviate the hopelessness. And I think that's what this is all about. You know, there's a CRS catalog that says, give the gift of hope. That's what you all do by sharing your resources, your talents, by putting together, somebody in a parish said to me, well, how much is the average parish contributing to Rice Bowl? I said, oh, it comes out to about $1,000 per parish. And she said, well, you know, we could triple that so easily. We put a dollar in per family per day. Mm-hmm. And a dollar is very little considering how much a Starbucks coffee is, mm-hmm. or anything else for that matter. And but I come back to her and I said, you know, I'm thankful, and I know CRS is thankful, and I know all the pantries that we have are thankful that we have such a loving and giving church. So again, I say on behalf of all them, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been so blessed in this work. You know, I was talking to a priest a couple weeks ago who was asking me about the work that we do, and you know, he asked me what the challenges are, and I said, well, you know, this work never ends. You know, there's always some injustice that we need to work on, that we need to overcome. You know, it's a never-ending grind. And sometimes the work can seem so daunting, you know, whether that work is abortion, as we're focused on today, or whether it's something as awful as human trafficking or whatever it might be. And sometimes those things can be overwhelming. And you know, that's the challenge. But the priest also had the wisdom to ask me, well, what sustains you in the work? And I said, well, two things. One is the people that we work with and work for. And the other is the fact that we don't do this without a notion of hope, because we are a people of prayer. We are the people of God. And we are grounded in a sacramental and a prayer life that sustains our work and provides us with a broader vision, that we're not just looking at the material aspects of these things, but we're also looking at the moral and the intellectual and the spiritual aspects of those who we help and serve. And so the fact that we have a supernatural vision, the fact that we have a prayer life and a sacramental life and a communal ecclesial life is what sustains us in this work. And so we continue to do this work because of that, that every day we wake up with a new sense of hope and purpose, because God has called us to this, and God is the one who has begun this good work in us and asks us to see it through. And so as we close our broadcast today, we want to lift up in prayer, and we come together to pray. Good and gracious God, we ask you to be with our brothers and sisters in Washington, D.C. as they march for life, as they hold up the life and dignity of every human. We also ask you to bless the work that we do in our ministries of care for the poor, whether that be here in Chicago, whether that be here throughout the United States, and whether it be through the work of CRS overseas and throughout the world. We ask that this work glorify you and bless you. May it lift up people. May it reduce and alleviate the spiritual, the intellectual, the moral, and the material poverty that our world faces. We ask all these things in a spirit of thanksgiving, that we thank you for the work that you have done through us. We thank you for the opportunity to serve, and we thank you for all the blessings and gifts that you have shown us in your great work. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Search deep for truth, so sit on the fence. Can you see?